that little book and allow God to speak to your heart. One of the most practical books of the New Testament. James doesn't get into a lot of heavy history. He doesn't get into deep theology through that book, but what he does touch on are the practical places where we live. He talks about troubles and trials, and he talks about our faith walk ought to match what we speak, and he talks about the control of the tongue. He talks about prayer. Very, very practical book that we all need to study and hear as God speaks and teaches. I wrestled with the title for this message. I had one thing running through my head that I thought would fit nicely, and that had to do with, you know, I prayed, but nothing happened. Have you been there? Have you prayed, and then later you kind of thought, well, nothing happened. I pray and pray and pray. What's going on? But instead, I chose to title this sermon, Active Prayers of Faithful People, because that helps us to understand why sometimes we don't think our prayers are being answered or there's nothing happening there. Let me read just the last part of verse 16, that second part. The NIV says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Listen to several other translations. The prayer of a person living right with God is something to be reckoned with. The earnest prayer of a righteous man has great power and wonderful results. The powerful, active, energetic, fervent, effectual prayer, that request or petition of a righteous, just person avails or can do much. That is so true. And when we study the book of James and come to these several verses here, we discover that he uses several different words talking about prayer. One of these has to do with more of a general kind of a prayer that you pray to God. Another has to do with offering praise to God, singing praise to him in a prayerful way. But when he comes down here to verse 16, the word he uses here for prayer, we would translate better as petition or a specific request. It's a word that you can use not only with God when you're talking about a petition, but with somebody else as well. And this helps me to understand it, because when I'm thinking here, when James says that this petition, this kind of prayer, this request that you make, it's something very specific. You know, if I came to Brother Ken and said, Ken, I need something. Well, he would scratch his head and he'd wait for the second part. Well, what do you need? But you know, when we pray, sometimes we pray like that. Lord, I need something. Lord, bless this, bless that. Lord, and they're so wide open in general. But when we come to the Lord and we pray very specifically and we make a petition to him and say, Lord, I need your wisdom and your direction and guidance related to this matter that is so urgent in my life. And we begin to be specific about that. That's like coming to Brother Ken and telling Brother Ken, I need to eat dinner at your house this coming Tuesday night at 5:30. You see, that's a specific request, a petition that Ken understands, and he can respond likewise and answer and tell me something there. Too many of our prayers, and here again I get back to that thing of, you know, I prayed for something but nothing happened. I asked and I just never saw the result of that. But a lot of times that's because my prayer is just way out there. It's just real scattered. We were working with some young people a number of years ago, and you have that special time where you go around the room and you're having prayer requests, and we were getting requests, well, let's pray for my studies, okay? Pray for the missionaries. Okay. Pray for my family. Okay. And after they had shared their requests, then I asked them specifically, I said, you asked me to pray for your studies. Well, what do you mean by that? How do you want me to pray? Do you want me to pray that your teacher resign tomorrow and you'll never have any studies again? Is that what you're praying about? Or are you praying that, you know, by some special gift of osmosis, you'll never have to study again, that you'll just sit down on top of your textbook and suddenly your body is just infused with all of this great knowledge? Is that how you would like me to pray? Or would you like me to pray that you might learn and remember those things that you have studied and those areas of your life that you have applied yourself as you should as a responsible student? And then as a representative of Jesus Christ in that classroom. So how do you want me to pray? Or pray for the missionaries. God bless the missionaries. How? Are we praying specifically? Are we praying, well, Lord, I know of this family that's serving in a difficult spot, and they've been struggling with the language for a very long time. God in heaven, may they have the ability to learn that language and to capture that language so that they can go out and communicate your love to those people in that culture. Pray for the missionaries. Pray for their safety. Lord, we know that some are serving in very, very dangerous places where they have been threatened. Lord, we know that some have even lost their life on the field. So, Father in heaven, we pray that through their ministry, that folks will recognize that their God is at work protecting. Maybe not always meaning that their lives will not be safe tomorrow, but rather that even in their death, folks will see that Jesus Christ is Lord. So our prayers sometimes are very, very general, but as James begins to share in these verses, he gets down to this verse 16 and talks about this prayer, this petition that is so specific. And he's saying that those specific requests that we make to God, the prayers that come from the lips of a righteous person, that those do much. We'll have in our churches programs upon programs and activities, and we will spend millions of dollars for all kinds of things. It might be for the program, it might be for making a building beautiful, it might be for landscaping, it might be for new parking lots, but we'll spend all kinds of money and do all of these things in the name of Jesus and call these things ministry, and yet we seldom learn what it means to fall on our faces before God and to pray specifically and to lay out requests that will bring honor to God and glorify the name of Jesus Christ, that when people witness what is taking place in that congregation through those ministries, that they see Jesus, and things that will encourage and build up the body. We can get too busy in other things and forget to pray. You know, well, we prayed about that and nothing happened, but are we really praying as we should? Are we being specific and focused? Are we looking at that target and God in heaven, I recognize there's this great need in my life or in the life of my church, and Father, before you, I present myself in these petitions, and I ask that your will be done and not mine. Powerful, active, fervent, focused prayer. That's what James calls us to. What makes that prayer energetic and powerful or fervent? And James goes on right at the end there and gives an example of Elijah. And I like this. If you've not read that story in a while, look that up and go back and discover what was going on in his life back in 1 Kings in 17 and 18. And you discover that there's a man who brought specific requests to God, simple requests. And here's a man who knew how to pray fervently, and here's a man who was called righteous. Now, righteous has a couple of meanings as we look here as James is writing. One of them, of course, if you're a believer, you've been made right with God. That's the whole point of Jesus and him coming into our lives and saving us and forgiving us our sins. We become at one with God. Before, we were separated because of sin, because of our rebelliousness. But through Jesus Christ, we are able to become one with God. We become righteous in that sense. It doesn't mean we're perfect. There are not many of us perfect here today. But it does mean that we've been made right. That when God looks at us, He understands that there are weaknesses here, there are imperfections, that Steve struggles with these things, but he knows that Steve has made things right with God Almighty through the blood of Jesus. There's another thing about the prayer of a righteous person here. James is writing to believers, but when he's talking about the prayer of a righteous person, whether that's man or woman, he's talking about those of us who really are walking the path of the Lord, that we really are blameless, we are seeking after Him day by day, we are self-controlled, we are watching what we say, we are behaving in a way that will bring honor to Jesus Christ, and when we do slip up, we know to confess that to Him and ask His forgiveness, and Lord, strengthen me that that won't happen again, and forgive me, Father, for that misstep. Elijah was a righteous man. We know that he sought after God. He looked to the Lord for direction. And in the occasion in 1 Kings, as he faced all of those hundreds of prophets and priests of Baal, Elijah came up there, gave them their chance. You guys go ahead and pray. And they put that offering on the altar, and they began to pray, and hours went by, and they began to cut themselves. Maybe God, their gods, would hear them better if they spilt a little blood over that sacrifice and showed their how fervent they were, how faithful they were. And as time went by, nothing happened at all. And then it became Elijah's turn, and he stepped up to that altar, and he looked at that thing, and he says, well, it's not quite ready yet. Tell you what we need to do. We need to put some water up here. And they brought in buckets and buckets and buckets of water and began to douse that offering, that meat that was there, and all of the wood and the lumber that had been put up on that high place. And the water began to run down and fill the trench that surrounded it, and it was just a wet, soggy mess. But you see, Elijah, he prayed a specific prayer, and he was a righteous man seeking after God. And he stepped back, and when he offered his prayer, so much happened. And he simply said, Lord, show us today who God is. And God Almighty, Jehovah, sent down fire from heaven and burned up not only the meat offering, but burned up the lumber that was there and lapped up and evaporated all of the water that was flooded everywhere in those trenches and even burned the rocks. And everyone stood back and they were amazed at what God has done. You see, the prayer, that petition, that specific focused request that we present to our God, of a righteous person, of someone who is walking with Jesus and someone who is in touch with his Lord, can do much. Christian prayer has to be grounded in the will and purpose of God. A little earlier, James made mention of the fact that you ask for things, but you ask amiss. You know, he's saying you've missed the target. You are praying, so to speak, but you're not praying like you should. You're not praying in the name of the Lord, meaning that you're not praying that His will be done in accordance with what He would desire. You're praying selfishly. I learned about selfish prayer, and I continue to learn about selfish prayer. I confess, at times I get very selfish. I'm not perfect. But I remember one of the first times in my Christian experience, I was a teenager. I had not been a believer too terribly long, but somewhere along the way, I don't know if I heard a message on prayer or how that worked, but I went to bed one night and I prayed a specific prayer to God. And to the best of my knowledge, I was blameless before the Lord. I had been saved, and I was really seeking to honor Him in my life and just to let Jesus live through me. And that night, as I went to bed, I prayed fervently. Oh, Lord, and I knew exactly, oh, it was so specific, because I prayed, Lord in heaven, that when I awake in the morning and I walk outside, that I'll see that cherry red 1970 Mustang Boss 302 4-speed sitting at the curb of my house. Lord, I ask that in the name of Jesus. I didn't get it. In fact, nobody on the street got it, so it wasn't just a matter of missing the address. I didn't see any bright, new, shiny, cherry red Mustang that next morning. But I learned something about praying in the name of the Lord. You know, pray in accordance with what He would desire, with His will. And it wasn't really His will for me to have a brand new shiny Mustang. See, we had an old beige-looking six-cylinder Mustang that sat in the driveway, and hey, that's what God provided at that time to our family that I could use. God knew. So those prayers, those petitions that are specific of that righteous person living and walking with Jesus Christ, they accomplish much. But let's make sure that they are specific, that we are righteous or blameless before the Lord as we walk day by day. And let's allow His will to be done and not ours. We need folks who will learn to pray and become passionate and ardent for the task. We need brethren who will rally and stand together earnestly, lifting to heaven the petitions of our people. We need prayer warriors who will become as involved in prayer as they are in Little League, soccer, swim practice. We need godly people who spend as much time on their knees in the presence of God as they spend on their seats in front of a television set or out on the golf course chasing golf balls. We need folks as careful about defining their prayers as they are about picking and preparing their meals. Because those specific prayers of righteous people before God, they accomplish much. They're active prayers of faithful people. We have a Points of Light prayer ministry that we began several weeks ago, and God has been blessing. I've heard several testimonies this week. It's just a joy when you find out, you know, people who are coming together in their homes every single week, members of our church who gather specific nights, specific times for about 30 minutes, and they invite their neighbors, they invite their brothers and sisters to come and share in that time and to pray. And what a blessing to hear that some have come out and participate and do that, and to hear how focused prayer is. And we have people doing that. We have 15 homes already given over to that, 15 homes every single week. And they gather for the specific purpose to pray. And I send out every week, I have just a short list of things and ask them to pray specifically over these things this week, these people, these needs as you gather together. And then they're always free to come together, and I ask them to pray by name for their own neighbors, for those that live around them, for those that they work with, for their family members, by name, that they'll have an opportunity, a divine appointment to touch those lives for Jesus Christ, that we might see souls saved and people grow in the kingdom of God. We meet to pray, not to eat. We meet to pray, not to study about prayer. We meet to pray, not gossip. We meet to pray, and in about 30 minutes of time, you'll be amazed at how God ministers in that group. We have some sheets out on the doors as you leave. I hope you'll take a look at them. Find a place close by you. Pretty certain that within just a few minutes of your home, one of these homes of prayer, one of these points of light are meeting. Find out where that is. Join them. Spend some time praying to God about those specific needs in your life, family, and even in your church. This is a God thing we're about. God's the one that has to work on our hearts and do all of those things that He knows how to do. I don't know how to do it. I don't think you do either. But folks, if we plug in with our Lord, He'll show us and He'll bless us and He'll direct. I want you to pray with me right now. Father, we again are so humbled as we read Your word. And Lord, it convicts our hearts to realize that many times we're not a very praying people. It's easy to study about prayer, talk about prayer, watch a video about prayer, read a book about prayer. But God, forgive us that we are not praying people, that too often we neglect it. Lord, in these moments ahead, we recognize once again our purpose for gathering. We recognize the body and blood of Jesus Christ, sacrificed that we might be saved, that we might know you. Thank you. In Christ's name we pray now. Amen. This morning we gather once again to celebrate the communion, share this bread and this juice. And we remember what Jesus said as he was present with those in that upper room. And you know he's present with us right now. He's in this room. And Jesus said that as often as you take that bread, you celebrate his body broken for you. And he said that as often as you take the cup, that you remember his sacrifice, that blood that was shed on Calvary, that we might have eternal and abundant life. This morning we come to do that.